Luke chapter 5, verse 1, are you there? Through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Stop there for a minute. Make a little note beside that. It's also called the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and that's Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which was in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I like that. This is the fourth sermon in my series, Living by Faith in a Culture of Fear. This morning, I am going to preach from a very unusual title. And you're probably going to say, that is nuts. No, really, it's truthful. I want to preach, failure is the way to success. You said, hey, wait a minute. We usually kick in the teeth people that fail. We gossip about people that fail. Well, they fail in the ministry, fail in the marriage, fail in the membership. There are people we talk about, we like to gossip about. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you some good advice. Don't gossip about somebody that failed and is hurting. What you do, you pray for them and love them. And maybe God will turn their failure into a great success. And you'll see things you never see before out of them. Am I preaching? Let me give you some introduction. Sometimes we think about failure. It's the end. How many here ever failed and thought it was the end? Raise your hand, you bunch of, be the truthful. I have failed, you have failed. By the way, I failed more than once. And I thought this was the end. But with God, it's not over till it's over. Amen. And I'm starting to feel this, Lord God. Sometimes, number two, the greatest thing that happens to us is fail. Believe it or not. And you're going to see that in this lesson. Then number three, I'm going to examine, and you also, two fishing excursions within a 24-hour period. And by the way, one of them was successful and one of them failed. The one failed was the right time to fish, the right area to fish, and they knew there was fish there, but they caught nothing. But they went back in the middle of the day. When they were supposed to be cleaning their nets, and Jesus said, go back there and do it again. Whoa! Aren't you glad God gives you another chance? Go back and do it again. And I think you'll see a different result. Let me say this. I'm still introducing. I'm having a time this morning. Let me give some examples of men of God who dealt with failure. See, that's what you got to learn. How about Abraham, the father of many nations, or the nation of Israel, and become the father of the faith? He failed. He not only failed once, he failed twice. Because he went down into Egypt, told him that his wife was his sister, lost a bunch then. Then he went down again and brought back a handmaid. And we got trouble in this world because of that decision up to the day. But God made him father of that nation. I want to tell you what, God can take your failure. Listen to me. Maybe it has been a marriage. Maybe it has been at work. Maybe it was things you do private. Maybe you're so stressed that you've been taking pills and this stuff and that stuff just to get by. I want you to know something. I got a God turned that failure into success. How about Jonah? God said, go this way. Look here. God said, go this way. And he went that way. But God's got a way. Amen. Make sure that's all. God's got a way. Are you with me? Taking a failure like Jonah. We went up and saw that play about Jonah. And he got away from God. Listen to me. And by the way, as soon as he got away, he went down. He went down into Tarsus, down in the ship, and eventually down in the whale's belly. So, hello, you ever been in a whale's belly? I haven't been in one naturally, but I sure have been in them physically or spiritually and emotionally. It ain't fun down there with the seaweed slapping you in the face. Down there where no hope. I can't, Lord, everything's dark, I'm done. Then the God of all mercies delivered him out of the whale. Got him down to preach, even though he didn't want to preach because he wanted them all to go to hell. Got him go down to preach. A big old revival happened. Didn't even make him happy. He went down there and started moaning after he got victorious. That's just you and me. And God put a big old gourd up, and he enjoyed that. But God then struck the gourd, and his bald head got hot. Then how about John Mark? Young people, listen to John Mark. John Mark was your age, a little older. He felt the missionary call. Then when he got out there on the mission field, he got scared. And he told Paul, I'm leaving out of here. I'm leaving out of here. But I want to tell you something. When Paul was on his deathbed, he said, bring me the parchments. And bring me John Mark. For he is needful to the ministry. I am so glad this morning. I am so thankful this morning that people might throw you away. Groups may throw you away. But if you want to get right with God, God never throws the clay away. Lord, I'm bogged down. I got to get in. How about Peter? Peter went up to him. I'll never deny you. I am the man. He just got a big head after he heard that up on this rock. I built my church. And by the way, he was not the first pope. Hello? You see, yeah, he was. Well, how was he? He had a mother-in-law. And do not tell me he had a mother-in-law without having a wife, because he would have been a crazy fat guy. Somebody say amen. Yeah. But you know what? Oh, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 were saved. He took a failure and made a success out of it. How about David? Most of us Baptists have thrown David away. He committed adultery. He's done. Anybody commits adultery off the Baptist rail. You listen to me, you heathen. Every one of us could do the same thing or maybe even worse. Are you listening? But I got a God when David repented and got right with God, took him further than he ever had, than he ever went before. Now here, listen to this right before I give you the 5 points and I'm done. The devil tells you a lie that he's been telling a long while. We cannot be significant and we cannot be used of God if we fail. I'm going to tell the devil, you're a liar.
Amen.
I have made mistakes in the ministry over the years. I can count 4 or 5 things that I went back to. You know how you are. And just stuff you make decisions on you shouldn't do and caught up. And, you know, you may say something stupid. I do that once in a while. I'm just like you. But I want to tell you what happened every one of those times. And I still expect it to happen every time it happens. It's every one of those times God has taught me a lesson. And I went to another level in my ministry. Then another level in my ministry. Then another level in my ministry. Then another level in my ministry. And I'm expecting to go to another level. You know why? I got a God in heaven that wants to work through you and me. But I'm going to tell you, Peter shows us a stepping stone to success. Failure is the way to success. How? How? 5 things and I'm done. Look at verses 1 through 3. We've got to acknowledge God's presence. Here's what happened. He came up and there was them boys washing their nets. Now, it doesn't say all this, but we know he had to have an invitation because they said, come on up on the ship. Hello? That's an invitation. If you're lost this morning, you need to let him come up on the ship. If you're saved and you failed, you need to let him come up on the ship. Coming up on the ship means you're inviting him into your life. Now listen to me. You better listen. I'm preaching this morning. And when he got up there, he just didn't come up on the ship. God ain't satisfied just saving you. He wants to do that. He's begging some of you to get saved. All you got to do is invite him in your life. That's all. Say, I repent, trust you in Jesus. I'm receiving you, Jesus. I'm accepting you, Jesus. Come on in. You listen to me. That ain't all he done. When he got on the ship, he does what he does all the time. He said, if I'm coming up on your ship, I'm going to take charge. Now here's what God wants. God wants to take charge in your life. The devil's had his way too long. The flesh has had his way too long. The world has had their way too long. He wants to take over in your ship. Take charge. Not only does he want to take charge, he wants to take control. I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. I got all the Holy Ghost I'll ever get. Hello? But I want to tell you what. Holy Ghost doesn't have all of me that he should have. That means taking control. He wants to control you, preacher man. He wants to control the senior pastor and the youth pastor and the associate pastor and the deacons and the members. He wants control. He ain't going to take anything less. And he wants to be the captain. Oh, you remember the story in the Old Testament? When they get ready to take over Jericho, Joshua came in there and saw an angel of the Lord got shook up. He said, are you for me? Or against me? He said, neither. I've come to take over. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm in charge. When we start getting in our brain and our heart that everything's controlled by him, everything's in charge by him, and everything, listen, he's the captain. Lord have mercy. I said something this morning. That's me. Don't you duck your head. Don't you run away from this. Some of you have failed. The devil used it to you today. Let me ask you, don't raise your hand. How many of you right now failed and the devil's still telling you about it? And you feel bad about it? And I know this. I'm the worst. If I make anything wrong, if I do anything wrong, I beat the devil out of myself. I beat the devil myself after I've got forgiveness, and I'm already on my way out of it. Because see, it's just my nature. I'm OCD, and I can't help it. That's just the way. But I want to tell you something. It's not right. Because he'll take care of it.
Amen.
Number two. Listen to this. When we appropriate God's power. Now notice what's said in verse 4, 5, and 6. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and cast and let your down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, that's a good thing right there. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus! I don't understand it. You said it. I'm going to do it. But you know what he said, first of all? Your master. You know what that means? That's a twofold meaning. A, it means landlord. You know, I get this. You know, people come up to me all the time. And rightly so. I understand. They'll say, preacher, I give my tithes and my faith promise. I believe that's enough. Another 90% is mine. I'll take it, use the way I want to. No, it's not yours. It's his. Now, here's the thing. You'll always do better on 90 than you'll do on 100 if you're giving it to God. But here's the point. He don't want you to be ignorant about how you spend the 90. Am I preaching? Some people say, well, I haven't got back from God like it says in the Bible. I tell you why. You've not used the 90 the way you ought to. You've got yourself out of budget, out of your mind. You've done bought things you shouldn't buy. I've been there, done that. I got a master's degree on that. Not only did the word master mean landlord, but also means Lord. I want you to know he's already Lord. He's already Lord. Do y'all know he's already Lord? And you'll never make him completely Lord. But you've got to realize he's Lord. And appropriate that to your life. And God will bless you. And you say, how do I do that? Be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Number three. Are you with me? When we accept God's plan. How are you going to get it? How are you going to turn your failures? Now listen to me, there's people I'm looking at you right now, and you're looking at me. When you look at me, let me tell you something, I've been a failure at times. And you have too. I'm just willing to admit it. If you're not willing to admit you made some boo-boos, you are never going to get where God wants you. You're set back a real pious and real self-indulgent, self-righteous, and he ain't calling me this morning. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He's talking to every one of us, including himself. Are you hearing me? Number three, get this. I'm sorry now. Boy, I can't wait to get to number four, but I can't get to number four until I do number three. When you accept God's plan, look what he said. Look what he said. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now hear me. First of all, you got to look up because he said it. By the way, this would be a good idea. Look where you're getting your information from. Because I know in my life, the times that I've flubbed up in 30 or 40 years of being a preacher, September 1st. 35 here September 1st and 40 in the ministry. The times I've flubbed up, I had to look up first. And face him. And he told me, launch out in the deep. And I'd done been fishing all day. And I'm tired and about ready to quit. But he said, go do it again. He said, I'm wore out. I'm wore out with sickness. I'm wore out with them people I work with. I'm wore out with everything. I'm sick of it all. you feel like a failure. But here's all you got to do is look up. And then number two, you got to watch out. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to tell you something. God has really brought this church from a little bit of nothing to where it is today. And I'm telling you the truth. As God tell me as a preacher, here's what he wants us to do. And I don't even know what direction he wants. I have my preference. Some of you have your preference. But wherever it is, here's what I'm willing to do if you are. When he gives direction, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to launch out. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. Listen to me. Look at me. I got, by the way, go out there in the deep reason and going some go out deep. That's where the big fish are. Watch out. But see, you're not going to get over failure until you take a step of faith. Say, okay, at your word, I'll do it. Have you ever been told by God to do something that you didn't understand? Come on. I can name you probably 50 things God led me to do, and I didn't understand them, one of them. And I said, okay, you said I'd do it, but I think you're going to crucify me. Well, glory! I did it by faith! Amen. And by the way, they'll not lay a hand on you if you go by faith. I didn't say they wouldn't try. Number four, when we anticipate God's promise, look at verse 4 and 5. Peter said, I'm going to give you this, nevertheless, I will let down the net. Here's what Peter got convinced of. I guess he knows what he's talking about. I believe he's going to do it. I anticipate God will do it. Now, I'm going to give you the most important part of this whole sermon. If you don't get it right now, you're toast. Here's the most important part that I'll be preaching right tonight or this morning. Nothing's more important than what I'm about to say in the next 10 minutes. I want to tell you something. Every one of you businessmen, listen. Deacons, listen. Preachers, listen. And you better listen to this carefully. God will meet you at your level of acceptance. Acceptance. You believe he'll do this? He will. But if you don't believe he'll do that, he'll do that. If your level's there, that's where he'll meet you. If you think he can go there, that's where he'll meet you. In my preaching. Let me illustrate that real quickly. My favorite guy to read after, though I don't preach anything he has because I wouldn't touch it, is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Listen to what he said to a young preacher. He had it, I don't know if y'all knew that, but he had thousands of people come to his church. He was a depressed man his whole life, but God used him. Amen. Had thousands come to church. Also started a pastor school. Let me tell you what one pastor did. He came up to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, something I can't understand. Dr. Spurgeon, every time you preach, somebody gets saved. Every time, Brother Spurgeon, I see thousands get saved under your ministry. But I preach, ain't nothing happening. You know what the wise Dr. Spurgeon said? That I'll say, yo, do you expect to see something happen? And he said, no, not every time. Well, he said, that's why you don't have it. Because you don't accept it. And I'm going to give you some things, and this will cut us right down to the bone. Do you expect God to do something great in this church? If you do, he will. If you don't, he won't. Do you expect God to move in your life? If you do, he will. If you don't, he won't. I'll just tell you what's wrong, some of y'all. Just what's wrong with me. We don't expect great things, so that's why we don't get great things. Praise! I am. Do you expect God to move? Do you expect the fire to fall? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You're looking at a preacher right now, whether you like it or don't like it. I expect God to do business in this church every Sunday. And if he don't, I'm looking at me first. Lately, we've had the fire to fall. You want the fire to fall in your life? And God move in your life? You need to get out of you thinking, oh, you pray one thing and you don't expect anything. And don't confuse the power of positive thinking. I don't want to hear that junk. I don't believe my physical power of positive thinking is it, but I trust God so much, if He says it, I believe it. Do you expect the Holy Ghost to come down and touch people? Do you? If you do, He will. First of all, He'll take over in your life. Then He'll take over in the church's life. Then He take over in the community's life. Then you'll spread out in the state, spread out in the nation, spread out to the uttermost part of the world. Why? Because you said, I believe you. If you do, He will. Then B, God wants to overflow us and bless us so that we cannot share, so we can share with others. Look at this. Would y'all look at this? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net broke. Dave, the net broke. Sink it. And he called John, his partner. Get over here. I got too many fish for my boat. And guess what he did? He took half in his boat, throwed it in John's boat. So what his life done, when he started expressing God's blessings, he not only took God's blessings, but they overflowed to the next guy. The whole thing I want you to do is expect God's blessings. He'll overflow your blessings. You won't hold it. Just like the man went out there and went back, and I got a man in the church right now that I won't mention his name. I wouldn't do that. But he asked me the same thing. Now, I'm nothing, Dave. Please, when I tell you this, I'm nothing. But I believe God. I am. Look at me. You that know me, that you know there's flaws there. You've been here this long. If you don't see the flaw, forget you. You're blind. But don't judge me, because I knew you too. Amen. Ship started sinking. He shared it with something else. Do you think God's causing, allowed a failure to come to your life just to change, just to stop? No, He wants your life to be overflowed, but He wants somebody else to be blessed. He wants to take John Smith's life and bless his church. He wants to take your life and bless somebody outside the church and get them in the church so they can get saved in the church. Am I preaching? The man came to me, a lawyer. God can bless lawyers too, Wayne. This lawyer come to me. Never had this done in my life. He said, I want you to bless me so much. Pray that I get blessed so much and I'll do right. He eventually didn't do right, but that's okay. He said, I'll do right. And I prayed for him. He come back about 8 weeks later. He said, could you cut back a little on them prayers? Because I am full of work. I can't handle all of it. You know what I told him? I said, give it to another brother lawyer who's a Christian. Pass your work to him. Amen. He said, I'll do that. I said, if you can't handle it, don't give it to a heathen. Amen. Unless I'm in trouble and that's the only way I'm out. Hello? Are you listening? God wants to bless you so you bless others. He's allowed you to fail so you'll get abundantly more than you ever had. So you can bless others. Whew. Lastly, I'm done. Verses 8 through 11. I won't read them, but I'm done. And I'll give you four or five things. Quick things, because I ain't got but 3 minutes. On your clock. I could go an hour. When we adopt God's purpose. Let me ask all you a question. Look at me. Do you believe that all the failures you've had in your life, since you've been saved or you're lost, God is trying to bring you to a place where you say, you're in charge. Whatever you say, I'll do. And you're the boss. It's not my plan, not my purpose. I'm going to accept your purpose. There'll be four things that'll happen. Write this down, I'm done. Number one, it has to be a confession. Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now I want you to know something. Unsaved man, unsaved lady, if you're going to get into heaven, you need to invite Jesus. He wants to come into your life. And you got to confess you're a sinner and repent of your sins, and God will save you right now. But Christian, here's what you don't like to do. Come up here and say, I was wrong. And ask forgiveness. Or do it somewhere. My problem is not doing it. My problem is sometimes when I do it, I don't believe he done it because I don't forgive myself. I beat the living daylights out of myself. That ain't good either. If you ask forgiveness, he'll forgive you. That was a consecration, verse 9. For he was astonished. He said, I'm selling out. Then there was a call in verse 10. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Why did he give them all the fish? To teach them. That ain't what I got you to catch. From now on, it's men. It's men. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what affects me most. It's when I see somebody walking down the aisle. Or somebody I lead to the Lord in the office. I see one girl here today that I led to the Lord. She'll want you baptized, by the way. You think I didn't see you, didn't you? My radar's up. I see everybody. Hello. But you know what God's saying? God's saying, you need to consecrate. Hook, line, and sinker. Be saved. Be baptized in the local church. Tithing. Be committed. Do things in church, and God will bless you. And there's a call. He wants you to reach others. Then there has to be a commitment. Boy, this toughest part. The Bible says, though, doesn't it? In verse 11, they forsook all and followed him. Hardest thing I've ever done. When I came down here to work for y'all and pastor you, when I went back to my boss, scared half to death. Because I was going to take a half. My salary is going to be half of what I was making. I was scared to death, Dave. And they told me, all warned me, that Baptists only keep the pastors 2 years. And they don't treat them real good even after a whole lot of years. I said, oh, gosh, why did y'all tell me that? You know what I done? I said, boys, I love you. Then my superintendent came. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I'll put you on any shift. Day shift, night shift, evening shift, or break shift, and let you get off anytime you want for a funeral, a wedding, or if you had to visit somebody in the hospital, I'll let you do it and pay you, and they'll pay you. I said, that's not what Jesus told me to do. He told me to forsake all and follow him. Some of you better listen to this preaching. You know what your whole problem is? You haven't forsook all and followed him. Oh, you partially have. You're somewhat committed, but somewhat ain't going to get it. And by the way, he won't mistreat you. He'll love you. If you get saved this morning, you'll never do anything better than that. If you come back, if you come down and say, boy, I have failed, I have blew it, but God help me, he'll do it.